We're starting a new series called Rooted in Christ. And I was praying to God, God, where do you want to lead us after studying your word and God's word, the Bible, and how we let the Bible direct our lives? And so Margie and I were out in the backyard and we're growing a garden. But this season, the weather has been crazy. We've had a lot of rain and a lot of heat. And so things that we wanted to grow aren't growing. Things that we didn't want to grow are growing everywhere. And so the storms and everything that had been coming on, you know, I don't have any pine trees in my yard, and yet my yard was filled with pine limbs, pine cones. So I raked them up and in the middle of the night took them back over to my neighbor's yard and threw them all in my neighbor's yard. I didn't, but I wanted to. That's the flesh in me, I guess. You ever wonder what happens when a tree has no roots? Well, I think we've been able to see that with the storms that we've had recently. We look at a tree, and the tree might look good, and I'm telling you, some of the pine trees and oak trees and everything around in my neighborhood look huge, and they look strong. The leaves are green, the pine is green, the branches are full, but then the first real storm comes along, and it exposes the truth. Does it have shallow roots? Because shallow roots will always lead to some kind of collapse. And some of us today, we're growing, but we're not growing spiritually. In fact, some of us, we're barely hanging on. We're dry, we're tired, we're frustrated. And it's not because God's not faithful. It's because we've been living disconnected from the root. We're not saved by Jesus just to survive. We're saved to be rooted and anchored and established in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The verse I want to use today is found in Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, and I'm in chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 6. And so if you will read along with me. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The first thing I want us to see in Paul's idea there, he starts with the word therefore. So he's talking about all these things that Jesus is, who Jesus was, what He does, and he's talking about being alive in Christ. So he says, therefore, because we know these things, we should walk as we've received Jesus. So the first thing, we got to receive Him. We've got to receive Jesus. But salvation is not the root. That's not the end of it. Salvation is not the root. Our salvation is the root. It's not the fruit. It's not what we bear. Salvation is the most important thing. Paul begins by saying, as you receive Jesus the Lord. Paul reminds us of something crucial. You received Jesus. You didn't receive a non-denominational religion. You didn't receive being a Baptist or being a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Charismatic or a Pentecostal. You didn't receive those things. You received a person, and that person is Christ Jesus the Lord. We have too many Christians who have received Christ, accepted Jesus, walked down the aisle, said a few words, said a nice little prayer, maybe cried a little bit, maybe even got baptized, and then we quit. We just sat in the pews and we just sat there. And we complained about the preacher, or we complained about the music, or we complained about this, and then we went to another church. And some of us walked down the aisle again, and we got saved again, and we might have said the prayer again, and we might have cried a little bit more, and some of us might have got baptized again. And we just go through the cycle because we don't realize that we're not saved to a religion. You're not saved to a church. You're saved to a person. And it says, Paul says, walk in Him. We are to move forward. We need to sink deeper into Him, because if we're not growing in Christ, then we're drifting. And we're drifting away. We can't coast through faith. Discipleship, being one of Jesus' disciples, isn't something that's passive. It's a pursuit that we do every day. If you plant a tree in good soil, it doesn't have to try very hard to grow. What it has to do is continue to grow and be connected to its roots. Paul uses the word received in this, and the Hebrew word or the Greek word that he's using means it's a relationship. It's not just about accepting these theological facts. Hey, I know who Jesus is. I trust in Jesus. It's receiving him. Are you walking in Jesus? It's not a cultural Christianity. It's a transfer of kingdoms. In fact, if you go back to chapter 1 in Colossians, Paul says this: he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You've been taken from one place and planted in another. And union with Christ is the foundation of this discipleship. In fact, Jesus says this in the book of John. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We have to stay connected to the vine. Paul writes to the letter to the Galatians. He says this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live." He understands that he's been transferred from that kingdom of darkness, and now he is this whole new kingdom. He says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So walk in him. Receive him. The first thing we have to do is receive him. The second thing we have to do, Paul says, is walk in him. Walk in him. That's a daily discipleship. We pass out those, the little devotionals, and man, there's some good stuff in there. And some days I get it and I'm reading, I'm going like, huh? I didn't quite get it. And I have to kind of go back because I'm just kind of cursory reading it. And I think God is saying to me, Paul, slow down and let my word just speak to you. And so I have to go back and read it and say, okay, that's what you meant. Walk in him. This is what the scripture says. So walk in him. The Christian life is not just a moment of faith. I gave my life to Christ. There are some people that could tell you my real birth date was August 4th of 1977. That's when I walked down the aisle and I gave my life to Christ. It's like, yeah, that was your birthday, but what have you done since then? Sat back and bragged about it? How many people have you shared the Word of God with? How has God changed your life? What fruit is being born in your life? I don't care what day you were born. And God doesn't care the day you were born. He wants to see the fruit that you're bearing. The Christian life, the word walk, means it's a continual habit. I was reading an autobiography of Dick Van Dyke. And he was in his 90s when he wrote this, or the ghostwriter wrote it with him or whatever. And the name of the book was Keep Moving. And if you know anything about Dick Van Dyke, he was always like just in motion, moving, dancing, tripping, doing all just kind of things. And he still walks miles every day. And it's amazing that you keep moving. And that's what we have to do with God. We have to keep walking in him daily. You can't just like walk on Sunday and then walk again on Wednesday. And then the rest of the time, we're just sitting around dying. Walking implies a pace. Growth isn't instant. It is a step by step. This isn't a Sunday stroll with Jesus. It's an everyday, every step, every decision, journey that we choose to make. God's Spirit is not like a microwave maturity. He slow cooks us, and it's through everyday faithfulness. Some examples in the Bible, Abraham. Abraham's walk of faith spanned decades. God says, I want you to go. God gave him promises. You're going to have more generations born. You're going to have all of this stuff. You're going to have all this stuff. Did he see that? No. It was generations after that. It's a slow walk of faith. Jesus discipled the 12 disciples. And he's over time. He didn't just get them together one day and said, okay, here's our plan. Here's our steps. These are things we're going to do. Peter, John, you go that way. Andrew and Nathaniel, you go that way. He spent time with them, and he ministered to them, and he prayed with them, and he lived with them, and he laughed with them, and he cried with them, and they were persecuted together. Many believers today, we feel defeated because we expect fruit to happen immediately. It's like you take a seed and you put it in the ground, and then you dig it up the next day to see if the roots have started growing. I mean, we want to see something happen right away. Margie and I planted some blueberry bushes like 3 years ago, so we're thinking, okay, this is the third year. There's going to be fruit on there. Well, there might have been. The birds might have got them, but there wasn't. There's still no fruit, and we wanted fruit that first year. In fact, one of the blueberry bushes that we got had like little blueberries on them already, and we're thinking like, this is going to be great. We're going to have blueberries this year. No, we didn't, and we still don't have the blueberries. It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes pruning, and it takes a bunch of things that you have to do. And walking with God is the same way. There are things that we have to do. We have to be in constant contact with Him. We have to talk with Him. We can't just give our lives to Christ, then sit there, and then when something bad happens, blame Him. We have to walk with Him daily, and He builds our faith. We want to harvest in a hurry, but maturity is a process. It's not a product. In fact, it's the process of our roots going deeper and deeper into Jesus through our daily choices, our obedience, and our surrender to Him. I mean, how do we survive a spiritual drought if we're only watering our roots once a week? We don't just visit Jesus on Sunday. We have to walk with Him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and then Sunday. So we walk in Him. The third thing it says, we need to be rooted and built up in Him. And this is kind of a dual dimension of growth here. Rooted is kind of passive. It's something done to us by God's grace. We are rooted in Him. Now, being built up, it's present and active. It's something that we are participating in. God is shaping us. God is transforming us. God is changing us. But the foundation is everything. You can't build a tall life on a shallow foundation. And some of us are trying to grow spiritual fruit in emotional soil. I used to be like that. You know, I grew up in church, and you know, and we were there every time the doors were open. And I remember sitting there, and it was like, oh, I got to listen to that preacher again. Can't we just go hang out with the youth? And it was almost like two separate churches, man. We loved what was happening here, but here it was like for the old people, you know. And then Youth Ranch came around, and it was like, okay, I'm going to the Youth Ranch. And man, Jesus just kind of opened up. Man, you could wear blue jeans and worship Jesus? That's cool. You know, and I want to do that. And it was like, you guys don't know what you're doing because it's all over here. And I got caught up in that emotional thing. How many of us get caught up in that emotion? Man, we just, you know, we see the Spirit move, and we think it's going to be that mountaintop experience every single time, but it's not. It's got to be more than emotion. Because your emotion is going to change. You're going to wear yourself out because you're doing it in your own power. You have to let your roots grow. Skyscrapers. When I had the opportunity to take my chorus up to New York City, and we saw where the Twin Towers had been, and we saw the huge, it's amazing how deep the structure went so that it could go so high. In fact, the higher the skyscraper, the deeper the foundation has to be. And it's the same thing for us. Healthy discipleship happens underground. It's like when we talk about we want to build the church. We don't want to just build the church in numbers. We want to build the church on a firm foundation that we are grounded in Jesus. And so we go from there so that we're not built on shifting sand. The biblical pattern for that, Moses, after he left Egypt the first time, he was hidden in the desert, basically, for 40 years before God got a hold of him and said, you go and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. David was anointed king when he was still just a kid. He didn't become king right away. He was anointed as king, but he still had to put up with Saul. Jesus, it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature before he began his 3 years of public ministry. And we cannot bear the weight of this life and the things that happen in this life if we are not rooted in Christ. Because this world will hit you, and it will hit you hard. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our personalities. It's not in our performance. It's in Christ alone. So what's beneath the surface of your life? Are you drawing strength from Jesus, or are you just draining yourself dry? Are you investing in the unseen parts of your spiritual life, like prayer, solitude, repentance? Are you more focused on what other people see? Well, you know, I got the biggest Bible. So what is our spiritual truth? Shallow roots equals spiritual instability, but deep roots equals spiritual strength. And we are to be rooted and built up in Him. The fourth thing that Paul writes in there is we are to be established in the faith just as you were taught. Being established means that we are firm in the face of pressure and steady. We're not tossed about by every wind or doctrine or every storm of life. And it comes from knowing God's word, God's truth, and trusting His promises. Paul knew that storms were coming. There was going to be false teaching, he warns them. There was going to be persecution, he warns them. There was going to be pain, he's experiencing this. And the Colossians that he's writing this letter to, they're being tempted by all of these things. Just like our church and just like our society is being tempted today. The world is telling you, hey, I know what you believe here, but man, just throw a little of this in there. Make it a little more palatable. The church did that. I remember in the 1990s, we had what we called seeker-friendly churches, where we wanted the church to be so much like society that when people came in the doors, they wouldn't feel like they were in a church service, that they would feel, you know, like, oh, this is easy. I can come and do this. There was nothing easy about following Jesus. It's a whole transferring of kingdoms. We have to understand that. You know, we've got the bells and the whistles and we throw all that. But what? Get rid of all of that and go down to what is the focus of our ministry here. It is to love God, it is to love others, and it is to make disciples, because that's what Jesus said. We could turn off all of this. We could turn off this. I could just come down on the floor. We could get in a circle. We could hold hands and we could sing Kumbaya, and then we could sit there and read God's word and let God minister to us. We don't need any of this. Paul writes in the second chapter of Colossians, he says, see to it that no man takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You look around, that's what we're doing. The world is telling you, hey, this, believe in this. God is love. God is love. If God is love, then you can do whatever you want because God's going to love you and love wins. There are books out there that say that and teach that and preach that. And grace, this unmerited grace that is so precious that we receive from Jesus, has been cheapened because it's almost like a get-out-of-jail free card. That's what we've turned it into, a monopoly game. Paul says this, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, which is Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Root yourself in Christ. Let Christ be your guide. Not the world, not these empty philosophies. Faith grows deeper as we learn to rely on Jesus and not on our circumstances. If we're not deeply rooted now, we're not going to stand when the storms hit. I've got a whole neighborhood of trees that are down everywhere because of the roots weren't connected. Shallow roots are easily swayed by pop spirituality, political ideologies, and self-help gospels. Everywhere you turn, social media, the television, you see those. Pop spirituality, just name it, claim it. You know, if you believe it, God has to do it because He promised He would. Yeah, you get in God's face and tell Him what He should do. See how that works out. If you are rooted in Christ, storms won't uproot you. Deep roots in the gospel means we can hold fast against storms of opinion. What am I being shaped by more? By the scriptures or by social media? Culture will shake you, and suffering will test you, but only deep roots survive the fire. And the last thing that Paul says in here, and sometimes we overlook this last little thing, he kind of throws it in there. He says, just as you were taught, abounding, he says, built up in the faith, be built up in him, establishing the faith, just as you were taught. And then he says, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. We repent and confess. We ask God for his help, and we remember to thank him. That was one of my lines from Sandra's play, and it's scriptural. Abounding in thanksgiving. And it's not a throwaway line. It is a spiritual diagnostic tool. It's a checkup from the neck up as we go through here. Gratitude reveals our spiritual health. It's like leaves. When you look at the leaves on a tree, you can tell the tree's vitality through its leaves. And the plants, you can tell the vitality of what's going on. When we're deeply rooted in Christ, gratitude overflows. Gratitude, being thankful, is not just a feeling. It's an overflow of a life that is anchored in grace. How many people do you know, or maybe you know some people, that it seems like the only time they're happy is when they're miserable? They complain about everything. How you doing today? Well, you know, today's just a bad day. Really? What about yesterday? Well, you know, yesterday was a bad day. And they're not happy unless they're complaining about something. It's too hot. It's too cold. The food's bad. The TV is this. The radio is this. The music you listen to is wrong. The people you hang around are wrong. And it's like the only time they're happy is when they're complaining. And that is not a life filled with the joy of the Lord. When you're deeply rooted in Christ, gratitude just overflows. Thanksgiving is a fruit of being rooted in Christ. And it's how we fight entitlement. It's how we fight pride. It's how we fight spiritual apathy. My son Alex, he listens to all these new church bands, Elevation Worship and Sons of Sunday. And he turns me on to these people. Dad, listen to this song. What do you think? Dad, listen to this song. And I'm why do you want me to listen to this? Do you want me to tell you theologically if it's right? Because a lot of them are. A lot of the songs we used to sing aren't theologically correct. But the ones that are going now, you can tell, are coming from the scriptures, a lot of them. And so I'm listening to this one thing, and he goes, I just want to thank you, God, for giving me another day to say I love you. What a spirit of thanksgiving. Paul was imprisoned when he wrote this, and yet he tells about how thankful he is. He starts off, I'm thankful every time I think of you. I'm thankful to God. He talks about thanks to the one who did this for me. He's constantly thanking, and yet he's in prison writing this letter. So where's our thankfulness? Where are our roots? Because the health of a plant is never stronger than the health of its root. And the health of our spiritual life depends entirely of whether or not we are rooted in Christ. So what are we rooted in? Are we rooted in our success? Are we rooted in comfort? Are we rooted in religion? My church is better than your church? Or are we rooted in Christ? Jesus says, are your roots on the rock, or is it in the sand? Is Jesus just a branch that we kind of cling to when life gets hard? Throw out a lifeline, God. Or is he the soil that we plant in? So today, let's choose to let our roots grow deep, not just in knowledge, not just in our feelings, but let our roots grow in Christ. And Father, I pray that all of us would just open ourselves up to you and walk in you, not just walk with you, but walk in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.